Hey everyone, welcome to episode 48 of Sits and Giggles. I am your host Casey, and I'm joined by Krista. How you doing today?
Oh, not too bad, Casey. Better than last time.
That's good.
More awake.
That is very good.
More coherent.
That's good because we have some exciting stuff to talk about for this episode.
We do. We have new things. New things to talk about.
So we've been talking about Project Luminous for a few months now, wondering what it is, what it could possibly be, and we now have an answer because we're recording this on Tuesday. So last night on Monday, Lucasfilm made the announcement of what exactly Project Luminous is, and it is a 3-novel, 2-comic-book series project surrounding the High Republic era of Star Wars. So it's taking place about 200 years before the events of The Phantom Menace. And we are getting 3 novels, 2 comic books. So the 3 novels we're getting, one of them is Star Wars The High Republic, Light of the Jedi by Charles Soule. And then we are getting The High Republic, A Test of Courage by Justina Ireland. And then we are getting Into the Dark by Claudia Gray. And then the 2 comics we are getting is going to be a High Republic series by Kevon Scott. And then a Star Wars Adventure series by Daniel Jose Older. So, like, they brought out the big guns for this project. I think the biggest surprise for me is the novel by Charles Soule, because we just kind of assumed that he would be doing the comic series for Marvel, because that's what Charles Soule does.
Yeah, I was taken aback by that too, a little bit at first.
I've been wanting Charles Soule to write a Star Wars novel for so long, and like, my wishes have been granted with this one.
Your dreams have come true.
Yes, because like, I mean, he's my favorite comic writer for Star Wars or Marvel, for anything. He's my favorite comic writer, and to be getting a Star Wars novel from him, just so excited about that. And then Kevon Scott, I wasn't surprised that he was getting, I figured he would be getting the Star Wars Adventure series because like that's kind of what he does already.
I have to ask, what I haven't read any of the Star Wars Adventures series comics. What is that like?
Okay, so those ones, they're put out by IDW. Those are the ones that are aimed more towards like a younger audience. So I haven't read very many of them myself. The only ones I've read from IDW are the Tales from Vader's Castle series, which was like, it's like a series they put out like the last 2 Halloweens. So it's like a little more like spooky type stories. And then like they have like another like series surrounding like the main saga characters that, you know, like the art and like the stories themselves are aimed more towards kids. So like they're kind of like hitting like all audiences.
I will say with the, while we're still just talking about the High Republic Adventures, the art style for the comic is extremely reminiscent, in my opinion, of the Avatar: The Last Airbender. Airbender style. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
That's a cartoon, right?
Yes. Specifically more so the second, like the sequel series, which was Korra.
Okay.
I just feel like the art is very, very similar.
I'm familiar with it to the extent that like I know it exists. I don't really know what it's about.
Oh, you need to check it out, Casey. I feel like it'd be right up your alley. I feel like, honestly, you would love both series, okay, the original and the sequel.
You'll have to, like, tell me about these so I can look into them. I'll add them to my list.
Okay.
I've got a growing list of things that I need to watch.
That's like me with books.
Yes, I have a growing list of TV series. You have a growing list of books.
Indeed.
It just
grew. Hey, but at least I'm doing the comics. Up to date on my comics.
And I really enjoy talking about those comics with you.
You too.
I think this week is going to be, we're getting like the next issue of the Star Wars main series. Next week, we are going to get our answer on who is Padme at the end of that Darth Vader comic. So we've got a bunch of exciting things to talk about next week.
It's an exciting time, I feel. There was a bit of a lull following the Rise of Skywalker release. And that was so big in itself, we were able to do, how many episodes after it came out, talking it and breaking it down. And then we kind of hit a lull where, unfortunately, it was almost like, what's next? Where do we go from here?
I'll be honest, last week, I was a little sad and depressed because I was like, man, there's nothing to talk about. Like, is it going to be, worth our time to even have a Star Wars podcast right now? And then they hit us with a bunch of news.
Thank you, Disney.
Yes. Now, this sounds super exciting. I'm intrigued that they described it as, this is, the height of the Jedi Order. This is, the Jedi that, we've always wanted to see. And it's been described as, the Jedi Knights of the Round Table. Which, if you have, any love for, a Thorian legend, like I do, you're going to be excited for that.
People can't see it, but when he said, like I do, I also pointed directly to myself.
Okay, awesome.
That appeals to me.
And then they tease, the new villains, which are called the Nile, which are described as, space Vikings.
Which I'm so stoked for because I absolutely love Vikings. So the fact that we're now going to get, the Star Wars, a potential Star Wars version of Vikings, not to mention that they just look incredibly badass.
They do. And this is, this story, it's 18 months in the making. This started 18 months ago when they got together at Skywalker Ranch to start, hashing out what would become this story. And it all started with Kevan Scott asking the question, what scares the Jedi? And then the story just started to kind of grow from there. Another thing that intrigues me about this story is, every book and comic is going to have, its own, main character. So it's not going to be centered around one person or one family, the Skywalker saga is. We're legitimately getting multiple Jedi, and we're getting to see their stories. Now your face tells me you just read something very exciting, and
I just saw something very exciting.
Okay, what is it?
I was just scrolling through the link that you sent me, the five things we learned about Star Wars.
The High Republic.
High Republic, yes. Sorry, I was blanking. I couldn't remember what it was called there.
That's okay.
And I had scrolled down all the way to the bottom in the picture that they have for number five. I had seen all of the different lightsaber colors and everything, and then we get down, and the first thing I notice is second one to the right from the middle, double-bladed green lightsaber.
Yes.
Awesome. And then next thing I see on the left, I'm like, oh, it's a white lightsaber. Cool. And then all the way to the right, you have a black lightsaber, and that's when my jaw dropped.
And that white lightsaber looks like it's one of those ones that's maybe folded and then unfolds into the double-bladed one.
Yeah.
And then the third one from the left, the guy's just levitating his lightsaber. He has the yellow face marking, Quinlan Vos, who is a character from the Clone Wars. You'll get to him. That black lightsaber, that's
incredibly cool. I want to know all of the things about it.
I mean, that's exciting, because so far the only black lightsaber we've seen is the Darksaber.
Mm-hmm.
From The Mandalorian.
Which is not a lightsaber.
Well, okay, it has a history that suggests it's a lightsaber. We don't know anything about it. We don't know if it's powered by kyber crystals or...
Yes, I'm sorry, it's a pet peeve of mine when people refer to it as, oh, look at that awesome lightsaber. No, it's the Darksaber. It's different. It's very different.
It is.
Sorry, that's me being a little, I guess, gatekeeper-ish. But it's like, it's two different things.
It is. Okay. Granted. Okay. It's two different things. The third and fourth from the right, we've got two people that look like they're Darth Maul's species.
Can we talk about what's at the bottom of his lightsaber hilt?
Yeah.
Is that like a sickle, like a blade, like a real blade?
That looks like it could be.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Oh, look at the bottom of the black lightsaber, not the dark saber. That's a pretty neat looking hilt that person has.
That almost looks like it could be dual, like have two blades on each end almost.
And okay, look at the fourth person from the left. He's got like a handguard, kind of like a rapier on his yellow lightsaber.
He does.
This definitely,
They're all unique.
So I'm wondering, like, what technology will be like in this era, because, like, I mean, like, just think about, like, how different the world was, like, 200 years ago from us.
Yeah.
And, like, how different is the world going to be, like, 200 years before, like, this era of Star Wars that we're most familiar with? And, like, I think that you can see, like, I don't want to say, like, there's primitive designs in their lightsaber, but, like, there's definitely a style of lightsaber that, like, we have not yet seen in this storytelling. So
I just, what really intrigues me too is you played Star Wars the Fallen Jedi, and you know how the array of lightsabers they had, like, you had blue, but then you had cyan, or I never know how to say that one.
Cyan,
I think both are blue, but they look vastly different when you use them in game. And I think it's really neat to see that kind of playing out in this picture that we were talking about. Like, yes, you have white and you have black, but then you also have, like, a magenta, which, if you recall, I believe you could have that color in Fallen Jedi as well. Then you have the orange/yellow. Again, you could have that in Fallen Jedi. You have one variation of blue. And then you have what is likely a green of sorts, another variation of blue, a darker purple, and then black. So I think it's actually really cool now that we're seeing a wider array of saber colors.
Mm-hmm. And we have a pink lightsaber.
Yes, which is awesome, despite what people on the internet might want you to believe.
I'm here for all the pink lightsabers. I would.
There's a seafoam green lightsaber.
The middle one?
The one right above number three. The guy in the very middle.
Yeah, like...
seafoam green. Below it, turquoise. Lightsaber colors, like sexuality, is fluid. Obviously, that is what we can take away from this.
And then if you look on the cover of Charles Soule's book, we've got a Force-sensitive Wookiee who has a lightsaber with the cross guards.
Which is hype.
Doesn't have, like, the light coming out of the cross guards like Kylo Ren, but has...
it's more of a traditional sword hilt.
Yes. This just all looks really cool.
I'm really pumped for this.
And I know, like, the... oh, and if you look at the picture for number, like, above number one, you see a lot of the cross guards on there. That must have been, like, a style of the time.
Yeah. And you have another two-sided lightsaber very prominent in that one as well.
Yeah. And then is that... I can't tell if that's pink or purple.
I feel like you could say either way with that one.
Yeah.
You got a yellow one right up at the top in the center.
Yeah. I can't.
I'm just really excited for this, honestly. Like, it's everything about it just screams awesome.
One thing I'm curious about, and we're not seeing like anything to indicate this in like the concept art or any of the announcement, but if this is only happening 200 years before the events of The Phantom Menace, Yoda is definitely alive at this point. And he'd be about like 600 years old.
I saw something, and I don't know, and I saw this on Twitter, so it could be completely wrong and off base, but it looks like, and I didn't get a chance to see it because I was at work, something was alluded to that we actually see Yoda at some point in here.
Like, we'll see him in the story?
Yeah, like we see him with the other Jedi.
I mean, I would...
I don't know if it's true, but...
I mean, we don't know his full history, but I would imagine at this point he's a master. Could be on the council. But, like, it also seems like we're going to be getting, like...
new characters.
Yeah, we're following completely new characters as they go off on adventures and, like, they're leaving Coruscant. So, and then, like, it's been alluded to in... like, in the Rise of Kylo Ren comic, for example, like, Lor San Tekka mentioned, like, the Jedi, like, venturing out into, like, the unknown regions during the High Republic time. So, like, they're definitely, like, leaving their comfort zone right now. So, like, Yoda could just be, like, getting a name drop and, like, not, like, featuring prominently in any of the stories. Let's look at like what these stories are actually about.
It's a good idea.
So the Light of the Jedi story by Charles Soule, which is the story that's going to kick off this entire thing. It's following a Jedi named Avar Kriss. As the Jedi Order faces a new threat, the publisher's summary says, 200 years before the events of The Phantom Menace, in the era of the glorious High Republic, the noble and wise Jedi Knights must face a frightening threat to themselves, the galaxy, and the Force itself. And then if you look in the five things that we learned on StarWars.com, there's going to be a disaster in this story that will ripple out throughout like all the other storytelling in this project. So like, I'm guessing like Soule's book is going to set the tone for everything that we're following in this thing.
I like how you had previously mentioned in the Charles Soule book, Light of the Jedi, we're not only getting a Force-sensitive Wookiee that's a Jedi, we're touching into another thing that me and you have discussed before with the Force and how we would like to see more of it, is apparently there's going to be a Jedi who hears the Force as a song.
Oh, I was really intrigued by that.
And knowing what we've seen just in The Fallen Jedi with, why can't I remember his name?
Cal Kestis?
Cal Kestis. What we see with him where he's able to almost, like, have Force visions of memories from touching an object.
Yes. Oh, I thought you were going to bring up, like, the part of the game where he, like, actually sat down and played the space guitar.
No. Have a little bit more faith in me, Casey.
Okay. I have faith in you. Yeah, I like how... I'm excited to see, like, how everyone else interacts with the Force, because, like, so we're getting someone in here that, like, hears the Force as a song. In the Kylo Ren comic, also by... No, that's not by Charles Soule. Yeah, also by Charles Soule. Like, we get someone for whom, like, the Force is kind of like a puzzle to be solved. Like, I'm excited to see how, like, other people view the Force.
Because as much as, you know, as much as we've gotten in Star Wars, one thing that I will say that seemingly hasn't been touched, at least since Disney took it over and all of the old Legends stuff became just that, old Legends. They're no longer canon. we've seen them touch on it here and there, like in the Kylo Ren comic and in the Fallen Jedi video game. But we really haven't seen an in-depth look at the Force itself and how it actually interacts with the people. So I think that's going to be really cool. I think we're going to get a much better look at the Jedi's relationship to the Force than we've had so far.
Yeah, especially since, like, this will be... we're following the Jedi during a time of relative peace. Now, yes, like, we're going to have, like, the Space Vikings, and there's going to be this great disaster, but, like, this is also a point in time where, like, the Jedi think that, like, the Sith are extinct. So they're not burdened with, like... they're not going to be burdened with, like, dark side Force users. So they're clouding, like, their own ability to use the Force. Like, so we're going to, like, probably get to see the Jedi as they interact with the Force, like, in its purest form. And that's exciting. And then for Justina Ireland's book, A Test of Courage, it's going to be following a teenage Jedi named Vernestra Rowe and a young ragtag group as they are stranded on a jungle moon after the Great Disaster. The publisher's summary reads, when a transport ship is abruptly kicked out of hyperspace as part of a galaxy-wide disaster, newly minted Jedi teen Vernestra Rowe, a young Padawan, an audacious tech kid, and the son of an ambassador are stranded on a jungle moon where they must work together to survive both the dangerous terrain and a hidden danger lurking in the shadows. So this is going to be like a junior novel, which, like, don't... like, for people listening to this, like, don't sit on this book just because it's a junior novel. Like, those are some of the best Star Wars stories that are being told right now. It'll
probably be a quick read, too.
It's only 240 pages. It's definitely the shortest of the three books.
I mean, that's something, that I feel comfortable saying the average adult could probably get through relatively quickly.
Yeah, like, Charles Soule's book is 336 pages. So yeah, I mean, that sounds exciting. It sounds like they're going to be, like, I don't want to say, I hope they don't land on Endor. Like, I'm ready for, like, a new planet. Don't, like, keep going back to that Skywalker saga well. Like, make a clean break from the Skywalker saga here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, honestly, I think that's going to be the case. So I'd be shocked if it was on a planet that we've already been to. Plus, it seems like they're very much... and it kind of was touched on, like, that they were given, like, free rein to, like, create new characters and new places and really, you know, grow the galaxy. Like,
I'm excited to see where this leads. Like, is there going to eventually, like, there could eventually be, like, a High Republic video game.
Yeah.
We can get movies that are centered around this. We don't know, like... we don't know what Rian Johnson's trilogy is going to be. We don't know what the Kevin Feige movie that he wants to develop is going to be. Who knows, like, where this could go?
I mean, and I like, so this is a quote from Lucasfilm Vice President and Franchise Continent Strategy, James
I say that with such authority, and, like, I don't know how to pronounce it any more than you do.
But at least you sound confident. I did not.
Yeah.
But when he's talking about it, he talks about how not only this entire... He quotes it as saying this is a golden age for the Jedi and also a time of galactic expansion in the Galactic Realm. So expect there to be rich tales of exploration, charting out the galaxy, meeting new cultures, discovering what pioneer life in the Outer Rim was like. This is an incredible sandbox for our storytellers to play in, both within publishing and beyond. And we can't wait to see the great fiction they build within it. That line right there where it says it's an incredible sandbox for our storytellers to play in, both within publishing and beyond, makes me think that they are pushing out, because as you said, this is being what deemed phase one.
I think I did see that. Yeah, this is phase one.
I'm going to look at this as a beta, essentially. They're pushing out this content in ways that are relatively, and I hate to say it, inexpensive, compared to movies or a live action show or even probably an animated series, almost as a test subject, like a test run. If people like this and they want more of it, then boom. Immediately, I bet you they already have projects lined up to be greenlighted. And they just want to make sure that, you know, this is a topic in an era that ultimately the fans are interested in.
Oh, they've certainly got my attention.
Agreed.
And then for the third book, we have Into the Dark, a young adult novel by Claudia Gray, who is my favorite Star Wars author.
Likewise.
Publisher summary reads, Padawan Reeth Sylas is being sent from the cosmopolitan galactic capital of Coruscant to the undeveloped frontier, and he couldn't be less happy about it. He'd rather stay at the Jedi Temple studying the archives. But when the ship he's traveling on is knocked out of hyperspace in a galactic-wide disaster, Reeth finds himself at the center of the action. The Jedi and their traveling companions find refuge on what appears to be an abandoned space station, but then strange things start happening, leading the Jedi to investigate the truth behind the mysterious station, a truth that could end in tragedy.
That sounds great.
That sounds incredible. And that is coming out... hold on. So that is getting released October 13th of 2020, and it kind of sounds like it does have like a spooky Halloween type theme to it. So a
little bit.
I'm here for that.
I don't do the spooky, but I'm still here for it.
I mean, it's how spooky could it get? Like, you can read Tales from Vader's Castle and not be scared at all. Like, it's not. It's Star Wars spooky.
You underestimate how big of a baby I am, Casey.
You're not going to see the Doctor Strange movie, are you?
Will I pay money for it? No. Will I watch it eventually when it's on Disney Plus and I can watch it in the daylight and or with other people and with my cats? Yes.
I'll come watch it with you so you could, like, not be alone.
No. No, but yeah, I am a massive baby when it comes to scary things. Like, when I was little, do you know the scene in the... Tobey Maguire Spider-Man where Aunt May is praying at her bed and then the Green Goblin comes and like blows up the side of the house?
Yeah.
He's like threatening to kill her.
Yeah.
That gave me nightmares as a kid.
So we're not going to get together and watch it?
Hell no.
Okay.
I was also terrified of the Fellowship of the Ring, Lord of the Rings movie. The Ring Wraiths traumatized me as a small kid.
Okay.
I'm a very large, big baby when it comes to scary things.
We had different childhoods because I definitely watched like all the scary movies I can watch. When I was like a young kid, I don't know how old I was, but I was single digits for sure. I watched The Exorcist. And
that's impressive.
Yeah, like my aunt made me watch it. She was very cruel to me.
I'm not as bad as my oldest sister, though. So her husband and my two nephews, they love scary movies, especially the boys. Declan, the youngest, loves It. He thinks It is the coolest movie. He loves the book, all of it. He's all into it. He is about to be 12 in May.
Okay. Perspective.
So they like to watch scary movies. My sister won't let my brother-in-law keep the scary movies with the other DVDs. Because if she's going through them and she stumbles across it, she'll get scared.
Really?
So he has to keep them totally separate from all of the other movies so she doesn't accidentally, like, just happen upon it and see the cover.
That is, like, next level sad.
Yes. So I could be worse.
Okay. And then, so those are the three novels. I don't have much to say about the comic series. We don't have a synopsis for the comic series other than it's a comic series. They're taking place in the High Republic.
Can we talk about how the bad people called?
Wait, hold on, because I want to say one thing real
quick. Denial. Go ahead.
Because I had said that Kavan Scott had than the Star Wars Adventure comic series, which he has, of course. But I forgot that he also did the Dooku Jedi Lost, like, I don't even know what you would call it. It was like a teleplay, maybe? It was like an audiobook, but it wasn't, it was like a play more than anything.
Interesting.
And that is where the High Republic first got, like, name dropped. And just like that name drop got people speculating that maybe Project Luminous was going to take place during the High Republic. So
that's wild.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the last comic series is by Daniel Jose Older, which he wrote a book called Most Wanted, which was a Han and Lando book. So you know how I feel about books that, like, don't, like, really deal with, like, the Jedi or, like, the Force or anything. So I can say that, like, that, not, it wasn't Most Wanted, I'm sorry, it was Last Shot. That book was amazing. I absolutely loved that book. So to see him, like, get a comic series, which is awesome, like, it's, I really like how it's, like, he's, like, they're taking people out of their comfort zone. Like, Charles Soule is, like, not doing a comic. He's doing a novel. And, like, Daniel Jose Older is not doing a novel. He's doing a comic series. Like, this stuff really excites me. But, okay, yeah, so let's talk about the Space Vikings.
They look like they belong in Mad Max a little bit.
Let me find, is there, where's there a picture of them?
In the, if you go to the Star Wars, like, the High Republic, the official, like, launch article that Star Wars put up.
Okay.
It's, if you scroll down, it has, like, a picture of everything, and it is the, close to the bottom. It's, like, the very last one before Charles Soule book. Soule's book cover.
Is this in the five things we learned about Star Wars link I sent you?
No. Hang on, I got you covered, though. Button. There we go. I'm going to text it to you.
Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Mad Max.
That does look like something out of Mad Max.
I love it. I'm not complaining.
No, no, not
awesome.
At all.
Awesome. It looks great.
And that's from, like, the first issue of the High Republic comic. Well, that's a variant cover, so we don't know what the actual cover looks like. But, and then, like, the writers had, like, input into what the characters looked like, too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Did you see, did you watch the trailer that I sent you this morning?
Yes, I did.
It was just, it was really exciting to just see, like, the dozen or so people just in that room talking about the story and where it was going to go from here. Cause, like, I mean, like, if your big complaint about, like, the sequel trilogy is that it wasn't planned out, like
the lack of cohesion.
Yeah. Does not look like you're getting that here.
No, it doesn't.
I know that, like, the five writers that are spearheading this project, like, they said that, like, they had, like, a group chat going with each other, like, the whole time, and they were, like, bouncing ideas off of each other and, like, letting them know, like, where they were in their respective stories. So, like, that's cool. Like, I love, like, seeing, like, how much thought and effort is being put into this project.
I like how they said that they talked trash about each other's characters as well.
That was amusing. Yeah.
But I also like that they kind of note that because of, you know, the camaraderie and the collaboration amongst all of them to make sure that everything meshed and fit together and was clear, that the Dust says, like, because they talked and, you know, were a part of the process for everybody so much, that it allowed them to plant some Easter eggs in the stories.
Mm-hmm. And that's how,
so now I'm kind of curious what those Easter eggs are going to be.
Well, I mean, like, so we got a mention of the High Republic during the Dooku Jedi Lost audio book. We got, like, we got a mention of the High Republic in the Rise of Kylo Ren comic. And then remember in the last issue of the Kylo Ren comic where it showed the one, like, one of, like, Luke's students, like, opening the holocron, and it had the Jedi saying, like, "Hello, fellow seeker," or something like that. Like, I think Charles,
yeah.
I think Charles Soule, like, confirmed on Twitter last night that that was, like, the main character from his book. So, like,
oh,
yeah. So, like, I think, like, if we go back and we just look at any story written by, like, these authors in the last 18 months, we can probably find some, like, Project Luminous Easter eggs.
Yeah, it's, I think it's going to be actually just, I don't know, I'm just really excited.
After I read, like, this project, I'll go back and read Claudia Gray's Master and Apprentice book, because she name dropped, like, a lot of, like, older Jedi in that one. So, like, who knows, like, who wound up in that.
Like, it's perhaps one or two names that we get introduced to in this one could pop up or be dropped in her book.
Yeah. This is just, I'm curious. I don't see how, like, the Sith could play into this story, because the Jedi definitely think they're extinct right now, but, like, it'd be kind of cool if we get to maybe see them play in the shadows a little bit, but, like, we know it, but the Jedi don't know it.
That would be neat.
Yeah, because, like, I remember, like, the two-part episode we did about, like, Palpatine and the way he manipulated the Jedi, and, like, Tim had made the point that, like, you know, like, the Sith had, like, all of these, like, Plagueis had, like, made all of these, like, contacts throughout the galaxy and everything. Like, what if, like, what if, like, the Vikings are, like, one of, like, the groups that, like, the Sith have, like, an alliance, like, a secret alliance with? Like, that could be cool.
Yeah. I think that would be really, really cool. Although part of me also hopes that the Niles aren't at all linked to the Sith in any form, just because...
Well, I don't... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I think it'll be neat to see there be a big bad that isn't Force-sensitive or isn't ultimately being... having its strings pulled like a puppet, like, by the Sith.
Right. So, like, I don't want... Like, I definitely don't want them to be Force-sensitive. But, like, it would be cool if, like, maybe they, like, had, like, an alliance with, like, the Sith in the same way that, like, bounty hunters do, or, like, something like that. Like,
I guess I would be okay with that more so than what we saw with the Sith and the Trade Federation.
Yeah, okay. I would be fine if we avoided anything like that,
where they were literally, like, pulling the strings on everything. Like, the Trade Federation was a patsy. It was a front.
Right.
I don't want the Nile to be reduced to that, essentially.
I'm just excited to be getting... I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I've loved the Skywalker saga for virtually my whole life. I'm just really excited to be getting a clean break from it now.
Yes.
Like, I like that we're going back into the past... Like, if we were going back, like, if we were going ahead into the future, like, it would be kind of weird that, like, there's no references to the Skywalkers, but, like, we're going into the past, so, like, there's not going to be anything like that.
I wonder if that's almost on purpose.
I'm sure it probably is. I'm sure they probably, because I know, like, a lot of fans have been, like, kind of requesting a clean break from this era, so, like, I'm sure going back into the past and just giving us a history where, like, they're not burdened with, like, the task of, like, recreating the Jedi Order or anything like that. Like, we're just getting, like, it's almost like they're hitting the reset button, and we're just getting, like, these Star Wars stories, and we're getting the Jedi, like, at the height of them. Like, they're not corrupted. They're not, like, clouded by the dark side. We're just getting, like, cool Jedi stories.
I just think there's so... there's a ton of potential for what they could do with this, especially in this era. And honestly, if all of these are as good as they seem like they're going to be, I hope that means in the future we get to see this actually played out, be it on a TV screen as a film or a series, be it live action or cartoon, or if it's a video game.
If this is popular, I can definitely see it, like, evolving into the next, like, big thing that, like, Lucasfilm does for, like, their Star Wars storytelling.
My cat's really mad at me right now.
For what?
Because I'm sitting up here recording the podcast.
Oh, okay.
He's sitting on the floor next to me, just meowing.
Well, sorry. Tell him we're almost done.
Patience, Richard.
Do we have anything else for this?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Next.
Wait. Before we go, I thought of a way for us to end the podcast, Casey.
Okay.
So, as everybody knows, Star Wars website's great for fun things. They also have quizzes and polls.
Ooh, okay.
So today, Casey, you get to choose. Do you want to find out which Clone Wars character you are, or which Rise of Skywalker character you are?
Clone Wars.
Okay. Okay, a fight is A fight is erupting. Choose your weapon. One lightsaber, two lightsabers, the dark side, a blaster, or your words.
One lightsaber.
Purist. Your friends are in danger. What do you do? Drop everything to help them? Run headfirst into the situation? Two words of aggressive negotiations. They're on their own.
Aggressive negotiations.
Thank you. What is your favorite color? Blue, red, green, or yellow?
Blue.
Favorite food group? Sweets, something savory, vegetables, or anything served cold, like revenge? That's terrible.
Savory.
Do better, Star Wars. How do you like to unwind? Catching a magic show? Honestly. Spending quiet time in the country, exercising, a good book and hot tea, or a spa day?
Exercising.
I'm not gonna lie, I was expecting the good book and some tea.
Well, like, I listen to audiobooks while I exercise, so.
Alright, fair. Your greatest strength is your courage, your muscles, perseverance, loyalty, or your devotion?
Loyalty.
Your greatest weakness? Fear, ignorance, misplaced trust, anger, or hate?
Fear.
Choose a pet. Cat, dog. I just said cat, my cat meowed. Cat or dog, reptile, rodent, or bird?
Dog.
Your dream job is politician, warrior, teacher, or spy?
Teacher.
Slim Pickens. And choose a Star Wars character to be your partner for a school project. Anakin, Ahsoka, Savage Opress, Commander Cody, Count Dooku.
Ahsoka.
Who do you think you got, Casey? Let's hear your guess.
I bet I got Anakin.
You are correct.
Did I really?
You're Anakin. Are you the one? You form strong attachments to the people in your life and have trouble letting go. It's true. You've proven time and time again that you're charismatic, courageous, and capable of greatness.
Nice. Okay, I can live with that.
All right, then. On that note.
Would you have had the same answers I had? Or did you have...
I think they probably would have differed a little bit on a few, but for the most part, yes.
Okay. All right, so on that note, everyone, thank you for listening. You can check us out at, or you can check me out at Darth Hockey. Follow the podcast at Sith Giggles Pod. Krista, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Critter, K-R-I, 3 T's, E, 3 R's.
All right, and check us out on iTunes, Spreaker.com, and Google Podcasts. Everyone, thanks for listening. Bye.